Open to Psalm 91 first, okay? All right, let me just read it again from verse 1. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, I like in James in that one, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, verse 2, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. Two things in life that wants to come against you, and those are what he calls trappers and then pestilence. He said, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night. Please notice that terror by night, of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, and of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on you with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High. You have made him your dwelling place. For that reason, again, it says in verse 10, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent or your house, your dwelling place. We give his angels charge concerning you, that is, he will instruct them about you, telling them to guard you in all your ways. And as a consequence, they will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, God was saying, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. In summary, with a long life, I will satisfy him. That is, I will continually deliver him from troubles. All the troubles, I will try to kill him while he's young. All the troubles of the society, all the troubles that his life, people in life experience, I will deliver him from all of them continually. When he falls sick, I won't let him die. I'll make sure he recovers. I will deliver him from all the plagues and all the attacks, all right, of diseases. As a consequence, he will live long. So he said in verse 16, with a long life, I will satisfy him. I will let him behold my salvation. Now, quickly open to Isaiah 59, and I want to show another thing then before we pray, and then let's see whether we can get back. Last time, we prayed last time again about health. Can you remember that? Yes, and we ended up not studying. No problem. It's our prayer meeting. Like I said, these are Tuesdays. Good. There are three things we do on Tuesdays. One, we pray. Two, we study the scriptures, school of Bible, exegesis. And then number three, we give exhortations or meditations once in a while. So whichever one you meet any day, enjoy it. Amen? All right. Now, let me just start from verse... this was Isaiah speaking about what's going on in life. Listen to this from verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, he said, has made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Now, this is what the society was experiencing. Your lips have spoken falsehood, and your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. Very common right now in our country also. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a snake breaks forth. Their web will not become clothing, nor will they cover themselves with works. Their works are works of iniquity. He said, an act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They hasten to shed innocent blood. Now, I want to just jump down because of time. Verse 9, he said, therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. Now, let me just jump down to verse 14. He said, and justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a victim, makes himself a prey. Now, actually, where I'm going all of this is just that last line. He said, now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. That is, this is a summary of God's opinion of everything that Isaiah described that was going on in society. The Lord saw it, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. All right? And he saw that there was no man, and he was astonished that there was no one to intercede. And then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. Let me just stop there. Now, I've read these two to bring out an issue. Today, we are still going to pray briefly. And what I want us to pray about today is a matter of security. What did I say? Last night, we prayed about the matter of health. And I want us to pray today about the matter of security. Now, let me say this. Please, just note it in case you did not know this before. Let's note it. Again, I just need to keep saying it and we have understanding of it. Things don't change by themselves. Did you hear what I said? Things never change by themselves. They only change because people make them change. And there are two levels of people that affect change in life. There are two levels of people. There are the prophets, one. And then there are the... Borrow me a word. All right, which word do I use now? Okay, let me use another definition so that I make it easy for me. I won't have to look for English words to invent so as to describe this, all right? There are the Daniels, you like that? And then there are the Cyruses. That's good, all right? What I mean is this. One, there are prophets, that is people who tackle the change from the realm of the spirit. And then there are the people who physically tackle the change. Do you get my point? Now, these people who tackle change from the realm of the spirit are always people that love the Lord. Do you get my point? Now, those who cause change outwardly, who tackle the change from the natural realm, may or may not be believers. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the way it goes. The people who tackle change from the realm of the spirit are always people of God. They can't be anything else. Do you follow that? But then those who tackle change physically, they may be people of God. They may not be. It doesn't really matter much. It is good if a believer, I mean, depending on the kind of calling you have in your life, if part of it is that of physical change, then good. You will do better than anybody else who's not a believer. That's what God expects. But what's most important is that that believers tackle change first from the realm of the spirit. And this is what I'm saying. For example, let's take Israel as a nation. They went into captivity, and at the end of 70 years, that was God's plan. And listen to this. At the end of 70 years, they were supposed to come out. That was what God said through Jeremiah. If you have not listened to this message I preached a few years ago, but we have in our collection, I titled it Poor Jonah. Please go and listen to it. Activating Prophecies by Prayer. I explained this thing in there. Before they went into captivity, God explained through Jeremiah that you are going to go to captivity and you are going to be there for 70 years. He said, when you get there, relax. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. You're going to be there for 70 years. That was when he said that scripture we quote all the time. Jeremiah 29, when he said that, stay there, build houses, buy land, invest in businesses. All right? Establish yourself. Plant yourself in that place. Make sure you pray for the peace of the land. Pray for its prosperity. He said, when the land is prospering, you will prosper. I said, I'm telling you to do all of these because I know the thoughts I have towards you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. All right? Now, so that was God's plan from the beginning. That's at the end of 70 years, you're going to leave. Now, at the end of 70 years, you know, what happened? Or when it was about to come to an end, nothing happened. And that's what I taught in that message. Poor Jonah, activating prophecies by prayer. Nothing really was happening. But what God did was to begin to stimulate the spiritual change. And how did he do it? He moved upon Daniel. And Daniel one day picked a book, the book of Jeremiah actually, what you and I have in our hands now and called the book of Jeremiah, is the same book he picked and he began to read. Daniel read the book of Jeremiah, do you understand what I'm saying? Which was written like 70 years beforehand. And when he saw it, and that it's 70 years that they're supposed to spend here, that was when he set himself aside to begin to pray. He was praying for deliverance to remind God that he said 70 years. And that you see, there's something you see from the prayer of Daniel, being a man, an old man at that time. Don't forget, he was a boy 70 years ago. So he wasn't a child that we're talking about now. He's a man who had learned over years, a man who had come to have a lot of experience, so he understood principles. And he knew that 70 years had a reason. And 70 years is not just a counting of years. God counts years based on what the year is supposed to fulfill. If God tells you 20 years, don't go and buy a calendar. I hear what I'm saying? If it tells you 20 years, don't rely on a calendar. 20 years means that there are things that are supposed to be fulfilled within 20 years. Do you get my point? Generally speaking, you will fulfill them in about 20 years. But if you decide that, if I got done this in 20 years, they'll come up for here. And after 20 years, forget to. They move. So you relax and do nothing. At the end of 10 years, he starts counting 20 years. At the end of 20 years, maybe you have counted only 2 years. So is that God? You said 20 years. Is that 20 years of sleeping? No, it's 20 years of putting some things in place. Are you getting my point? So that's why Daniel, I just summarized that, all right? Let me not, I'm not going to teach much right now. Just want to explain the principle to us again. So Daniel understood that 20 years is supposed to bring forth repentance. 70 years. It's supposed to allow the land have a Sabbath, that they are denied the land. It's supposed to have taught them certain issues. They are supposed to come forth in repentance. Without that, they ain't going anywhere. 70 years will become 100 years. Peradventure, it can become 200. 700 years can pass. Why 70 years is not yet fulfilled? Now, it's very important. That's why Peter had to say, God is not slow concerning his promises. If he says 70 years, he can count. He said, but it is like 1,000 years. So that if you guys are not in a hurry, he's not in a hurry too. Do you understand my point? But this is the point. So Daniel picked up the matter and began to pray. And that's what I taught in that message, activating prophecy by prayer, and poor Jonah. There's a reason why I talked about poor Jonah. I don't want to go over that again, all right? But what I was just trying to say is that you can do things that will make the word come to pass, or you can do things that will ensure that God will appear as if in your life is a liar. Are you getting the point? Now, so one of those things is a matter of prayer. So Daniel began to pray. Now, that's why I'm talking about the Daniels, the prophets, who from the realm of the spirit, they begin to activate change. If those ones don't do anything, the people on the down below will not be able to do anything. Let me tell you something. Have you noticed something? Just to give you an illustration, all right? I don't know what's going on in Abuja. I don't know what's going on up there. But I know one thing for sure, that in the last few months, fuel has not been scarce in Enugu, which is very unusual. And I discovered last week, they are not even competing. Prices have come down to 64 naira. That people are not even selling it in Lagos. I think Lagos is 65. But now, Enugu people are not used to not selling fuel. They are not making money. So now it's 64 naira. And I asked Inka the other day, I said, well, what happened? What is the magic? Do you get my point? That suddenly there's fuel everywhere. And he said something that this Nigeria is an interesting country. That these things just happen because of political will a lot of times, all right? That if somebody wants to do it, things get done. If somebody doesn't want to do it, it won't get done. And let me tell you something, It's not, we can sit down and just point fingers. That's what I'm coming to. We can sit down and just point fingers. But I told us to let you know that when the Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we're like them that dream, all right? That is, God can turn the captivity of Zion overnight. And you wonder that, is it possible? That's why I just use that as an illustration. Do you follow my point? Yeah, you wonder that, is this thing really doable? But it has happened, all right? Now, so it appears as if, all right, these things, these changes on the surface can just be done by people. But the truth is that, that is very correct, that is true. But what God does is that if he's not ready, or let me put it like this, when the spiritual realms are not yet ready, all right, the will of God being part of it, the behaviors of people part of it, and the prayers of people part of it, when it's not yet ready, all right, when the things are not yet together, what will happen is that you put a moron in office and nobody will have well. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's just the way it goes. When the spiritual atmosphere is not correct, all right? I mean, let's take, security as an example, which we're going to pray about. I remember I was in Lagos for a number of years before MB Marwa was governor for some of the years that I was in Lagos, all right? And I think he left just shortly before I left Lagos also, all right? And I remember very well, MB Marwa... Puba Marwa drove armed robbers out of Lagos in like 3 months. I'm sorry, they all ran to Ogun State. That is the ones that didn't run into the Atlantic Ocean. the ones that he did not kill and drove into the Atlantic Ocean, or drive into the Atlantic Ocean, those ones ran to Ogun State and Oyo State and the neighboring states. And it was as if when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was as if we were dreaming. He didn't have three heads. Now listen to me. People say, this is a very good man. There are good men everywhere. people who can walk. Do you understand my point? I think I can conservatively put, I think Nigeria has at least 100 good presidents who have never been president. 100 good men at least who can turn, that is, in a year, you won't recognize the country you are in. I believe Nigeria has it. At least 100. So it's not the fact that the man is good, it's that the man that is good got there. Do you follow what I'm saying? You get the point I'm making? Now, I meditated then because of understanding. I looked back and I remembered that those times when armed robbers were terrorizing Lagos, we'll go to church. And people, of course, everywhere people were praying. People would pray, real prayer. And people like Bishop Oyedepo would mount the pulpit and boldly curse them in the name of the Lord. And he would, listen, I still remember he would say, listen to me if you're an armed robber. From now, I curse all your operations with devastating death in the name of Jesus. And the church will shout, amen. In heaven, they said, in our so. The angel said, we're here. He said, get me a man who can effect that thing. But then the angel said, Lord, there's one guy here. His name is Buba Marwa. He won't show mercy. He said, bring him. So they removed the joker who was there and put Marwa. And Marwa woke up and said, okay, operation what? Sweep. Everybody begin sweep. Oh, but the thieves isn't a joke. They were swept. Oh, God, absolute sweeping. Even innocent people, some of them got caught in the sweeping. It was not a joke. Every day they will be advertising the numbers. Every day. In distress, call these numbers. Please call those numbers. Once you did that, Lagos, they would. I mean, I was there. They will respond. And they will kill everybody that looks like a thief. After that, if you want to shout praise God, you shouted it quietly. Praise the Lord. Because unless it sounds like a gun of a thief. No, those guys were hyper. Not the one that Amara were praising for hours, for Lagos that time. Who burned you? Shoot anyhow in the air. They don't surround that area. Clean you out. You have a gun, they shoot you in the head. And that's the end of it. Throw your body in the boot and go and dump it in the ocean. At the end of 3 months, who be thief for here? No, okay, I'll not be thief for. Everybody rejected. Now, this is what I'm saying. It did not start with Buba Marwa. That's a Cyrus. It started with you and me. It started with the prophesying of the Daniels, who read the book and said, this is the order of God. 70 years we should be out of here. And then they began to pray. It's their prayers that activated the release of Cyrus, who Isaiah prophesied about long before then. And the Bible said he was commanded to make the oppressed of God go free. Two levels of effective change effectors. Number one, the prophets. Then number two, the physical one, which can be Christians, may not be Christians. Are you getting what I'm saying? Wow, what I'm trying to bring to us again today. What we do is that we tackle it from the prophetic side. Are you getting my point? And the physical side, that one is not none of our business. We can talk, we can reason, we can use our brains, but we don't lay our emphasis on it. We don't say, God, it must be this person. Do you know who wants to do the will of God? No. He said, I call the bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country. Somewhere very far away. You don't know where he is right now. But when I'm ready, I call him. So what do? We enter, like that young man told me, into the realm of the spirit. One man who I told that blessings are spiritual said, when he heard that message, he climbed into the realm of the spirit and collected his blessings. So what we do is that we climb like him into the realm of the spirit and tackle everything from the spiritual angle. Why did I read these two scriptures? For us to understand God's attitude towards things like that. He said the Lord saw and it displeased him. So if God is displeased about something, all right, it is therefore, you have a right therefore to use his displeasure to prophesy. That is, anyone who is displeasing God, may you perish out of the way. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? That's, he said, the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight. He described all the calamities in society, how their feet run to shed innocent blood. They run after their own, after their iniquities. He said, these are the things they do. Truth has stumbled in the streets, and uprightness cannot enter. All those kind of things. He said, the Lord saw, and it displeased him. Now, if you see, what displeased him, okay, was that there was no man and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation unto him. I don't want to go into this now, but some time ago, I heard somebody teach about this. And essentially, how God brought salvation was to bring the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you get my point? That's how his hand brought salvation unto him. And then we are the extension of the days of Jesus. That's what I'm saying. That is, when God sees something and is displeased, he brings you onto the scene. Do you follow my point? And I've already explained that, like Daniel, what do? We start our attack from the realm of the spirit. Let me tell you something. I've reasoned. We are in Enugu now, amen? And it's good. I think we're on the highest peak around here. You know what I mean? So we should pray and cover the whole of eastern Nigeria. That's what I'm trying to say. As it stands today, this is the most violent part of Nigeria. If you leave religious crisis out. Yes. Who's from Abia State here? Come and stand in front here when we are praying today. You people need prayer. Come. Bring chair. And I need prayer for that state. Sit down here. Very good. You people need prayer in that state. Serious. And it's already working. The one we have been praying is working. There's disorder. And, you know, the Bible says, when I want to judge the Egyptian, I turn the Egyptian's heart against his brother. You see what I'm saying? When men begin to disagree, just know that prayer is working. You see what I'm saying? So deliverance has come, say amen. Salvation has come, say amen. We are prophesying good upon you people, say amen. How can you mean instead that all the banks will close down and you are not complaining? How can your traditional ruler be the chief kidnappers? You have to pray. People should start having heart attack there at random. They all wake up one way, say one Igwe just died. What thing happened? We don't know. We don't care. It's vital. How can you be in a state? Every doctor will run away. If you fall sick, you can go. Do you get my point? Listen, those things may appear outwardly, right? Like physical things, but actually they are not. They are spiritual things. It's a spirit of violence. There's a spirit about it. That's why you shoot, kill 500 armed robbers. Another 500 grows after. Why? Because the spirit inside them departs when they die. Jump into another willing young man. That's the way it works. You shoot. What is it? You go to America, look, Britain, their policemen don't carry guns in Britain. They carry kondo. You know what's kondo? That's baton. Huh? That's what they carry. American policemen, they carry guns. In fact, they carry all kinds of guns. They are full military gears, American policemen. A typical Briton doesn't know what the gun looks like, apart from the one he sees on television. Yet, more policemen die in America. But maybe 100 times more than dying in UK from the hand of criminals. It's not just about gun. It's a spirit. America has a more violent spirit than Britain has. That's a matter of fact. These things are spiritual. If you don't tackle them spiritually, shoot all you want. You know, I think about it. Look at, a few years ago, I used to think that these are Al-Qaeda people. They will soon run out of suicide bombers. Now, I've changed my mind. Suicide bombers are not ending. They are not, though. They know they finish. It's a spirit. It keeps recruiting people. You kill one, it leaves, jumps into another person. You arrest 50. Once you put them in jail, no, that one is hard. If you arrest them, keep them in jail. But once you shoot them, like the spirit, you'll say, fine, okay, I'm free at last. The next time somebody does, Allahu Akbar, as the hair hit the floor, the spirit go enter. you've not seen, those guys are angry. It's a spirit. Those angers are spiritual. It's a spirit of violence. It's not easy for a man to just carry himself, strap himself, and blow himself up. He cannot be in his right senses. He can't be. Something is propelling him. On our own side, we call it grace. We call it an anointing. But there's a negative force like that. And those things are real. Go and read the madman that Jesus delivered. They will chain him. Chains. And the guy will bam, 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 bam. Break the chain. So yeah, how far? Any other thing? Use a stone and be cutting himself because he has a spirit. Is how many with this? Plenty. One cuts him, one breaks the chain. When the chain is too hard, we hold it on different sides and snap it. Those things are real, though. They are spiritual. What Christians do is to drive them out of those territories. Yes. Two things. One, you walk in righteousness and you pray. That's all. That's why Jesus said you are the salt of the earth. Are you getting my point? Salt of the earth is, we are the ones that ensure that things don't go too terribly wrong. We preserve the earth from decadence. Doesn't mean we are the ones who go around and say, hey, thou shalt repent. That's another assignment. That's ambassadors for Christ. That's different from being salt of the earth. Salt of the earth means your very presence is preserving a situation. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Please, let's get that clear. So that I always like to give background to Jesus. You're just going to pray. The Bible says, guard your steps when you enter into the temple. Is it draw near to do what? Listen. Rather than coming to offer the prayers of fools. Yes, if you come without understanding, you talk things that are ineffective. My friend of mine, just by the way, when the office just now, just say he doesn't understand why he would do all night prayer in which everybody is falling asleep. Like I always say, there's nothing to keep you awake, so go home and sleep. If you fall asleep, go home and sleep. When you need all night prayer, you don't worry, nobody will beg you to stay awake. Sometimes you fall asleep, you inside the sleep, you will get up and say, what kind of nonsense is that? You know, the kind of prayers that you fall asleep, you are still praying. By the time you wake up, you just continue where you stopped. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So that's what I've just said in all of this, so that we can understand, all right, what we want to do. Let's just rise to our feet. I want us to pray. One sister, when you want to pray, you command all the spirits to run into the Atlantic Ocean. And they feel sorry for the ship where they passed that time. And those kinds of things, they cause hurricane and storms. You know, they topple ship anyhow. When the brethren pray and drive a whole horde of spirits to the Atlantic Ocean, it becomes a storm. But whichever way, they have to go to the Atlantic Ocean. Just go somewhere. Just get out of here. Are you getting my point? All right, first of all, let us give God thanks because the power belongs to God. That's very important. Say, Lord, we give you thanks because power belongs to you. You say, once he has spoken, twice I have heard this. The power belongs to God. Thank him. Say, Lord, we recognize that safety is of the Lord. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of our God. He's a strong tower, is our fortress, is our defense, our God. In him we will trust. He said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How does he dwell? He said, I will say of the Lord, my refuge. And so let's begin to say something about him. Say, Lord, you are our refuge. That's how we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. He said, Lord, you are our protector. It's not the fences around our homes. It's not the locks on our doors. I saw a picture in the paper yesterday of how they blew open the bulletproof door of the former deputy governor of Bayelsa State. His door, bulletproof door, they blew it open with dynamite. So safety is of the Lord. Some trust in steel doors and concrete blocks, fortified blocks. But we trust in the name of the Lord because we have come to recognize that safety is of the Lord. Deliverance is not from 1,000 horses, but safety is of the Lord. So let's call him that name. Say, Lord, our safety. Lord, our defense. The angel that guards us, that encamps around us, that delivers us, is our protector on our right hand and on our left. 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand. None will come near us because we are the people of God. Let's call him that name. Lord, we thank you because you are the one that protects. He said, have respect unto the covenant. That is a covenant of protection. Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Drink it. Say, Lord, I have drank it by faith. I have drank it because of my faith. I have given my life, shed my blood for the Lord Jesus Christ. I have drank of his blood. So this is a new covenant in my blood. And David taught us to pray. Say, have respect, O Lord, unto that covenant. Because the dark places of the earth, they are filled with the habitations of cruelty. Say, Lord, their habitations. No, the rod of the wicked will never fall upon the lot of the righteous. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, as I travel, I will be safe. No matter how bad the roads are, as I travel, I will be safe. As my loved one travels, they will be safe. I declare that safety is their portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we declare that safety is their portion. Safety is my portion. The Lord is with me in my going out and in my coming in. From now and henceforth and forever.